Yo, what's going on? It's coverage season. Wild card weekend is over.
Done.
Yali is back.
We back.
I'm here with my illustrious co-host.
D-Dub is in the building.
Who failed just as miserably as I did picking our games last week.
Oh, man.
We'll touch, you know, on the games last week, you know, while we go over this divisional weekend coming up. But the first game of this divisional weekend, D-Dub.
Alright.
Vikings playing in Santa Clara. They're playing the 49ers.
Saturday evening. They're playing the 49ers. Yup.
Break it down for us, man.
Alright, so, I mean, with a little recap of what happened last week, you know, 49ers had to buy. But the Vikings went into New Orleans inside the dome. And I had said this last week. If anybody can do it, it's them. They did it already. You remember Stephon Diggs with the catch. And they did it again. They went into New Orleans. And Kirk Cousins did what nobody else thought they could do. He waxed that ass.
And to me, it... Just as much as Stephon Diggs had a big catch at the end of the game, damn it, Adam Thielen, man.
Oh, for sure, Adam Thielen. He
over the top of Patrick Robinson. That was the game right there. As soon as it happened, I knew that was game right
but
there.
But the catch of the game was executed well by Kyle Rudolph, though. Kyle Rudolph, he had the catch of the game. He had the big catch of the game in the back of the end zone.
Oh yeah, that. And I know all the the Saints fans around the world are. That was a push-off. That was pass interference. Look.
Nah, that was straight football.
We gave y'all last year. We gave y'all the Michael Thomas, Bradley Roby pass interference. We gave y'all that. Mm-hmm. Not this time.
Nah.
We can't give it to y'all again.
This was straight
we
football.
We can't give it to y'all again.
There was nothing egregious.
It was a great play.
There was nothing egregious on the play. If you look back at it, yeah, there's a little bit of hand contact, but hey, that's football. If there's no pitter patter here and there, we ain't really working. I mean, well, they're not really working. But yeah, let's dive into this game. The Vikings at the 49ers. This is going to be a big game, but according to the injury report released yesterday, Adam Thielen has suffered an ankle injury. Now they have listed him as questionable, but I do expect to see him playing this week. But, you know, just hearing that, it gives you some goosebumps just a little bit. You want to see both teams as healthy as possible going into this game because you want to see everybody going head-to-head. And with that, let's break it down.
And to me, I think that, you know, you do want to see guys healthy on both sides. But I do think he suits up and plays.
For sure.
This is too important of a game for him. And to me, the biggest matchup is going to be Kirk Cousins versus Jimmy G. Without a doubt about it, it's going to be how those two quarterbacks take care of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy G, this is his playoff debut. He's never been in the playoffs before. He's never played playoff football. And, you know, to have the number one seed, it's a big thing. And they have home field. They have the opportunity to capitalize. To me, it's just about how they manage the game, the play calls. Who they get involved in the passing game. To me, I think that's a lot about play calling. I know that, you know, the better the receiver, the better he is, you know, at getting separation and getting himself open. But you know this, I know this, you can work a player into the game plan. And to me, their most consistent receiver, even though it was at the later part of the season for San Francisco, it's been Deebo Samuel. And to me, I think in order for them to be successful this game, and even with, you know, Xavier Rhodes, Mackenzie Alexander, and he might not play this week. But, you know, with their corners, you have to attack their corners. You have to make their corners play. And they have the weapons to do that,
I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see it with Deebo Samuel going up against maybe, you know, Trey Wayne's lining up against them here and there. I'm excited to see some of these matchups. And you also got on the other side of the ball, I mean, you got Richard Sherman lining up against Daleen and Diggs. It's going to be exciting weekend
and I
told
you,
football.
And look, I'm going to add another player to your hit list, mm-hmm. man. I told you at the beginning of this year, Richard Sherman was still legit.
Oh, nah, you did.
I told
you,
and And let me tell you, he balled out last week.
He did, yeah.
Richard Sherman did. He played, I mean, not last week, excuse me.
2 weeks ago.
You know, the week 17. Mm-hmm. He balled out in that last game against Seattle, and he played tremendous.
Yep.
Against Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and those guys. So, you know, he knows what this is about. He's been here before, mm-hmm. and he's the leader of this team. So, you know, I expect him to have those guys ready to play football. Mm-hmm. On the other side, with the Vikings, to me, I just want to see them establish the run.
Yeah.
I think that what they've had going for them has been the running game. And even though it wasn't as efficient and pretty as it normally is mm-hmm, for them mm-hmm. on a week-to-week basis, I think they need to involve that some more.
I think they're gonna get Kirk Cousins. I think they're gonna get back to basics. I mean, you saw a little bit of Dalvin Cook during the Saints game. It wasn't his best performance, but I think we're gonna start seeing him a lot more in this game.
I think Kirk Cousins,
he's almost 100% healthy, so you're going to see him setting up.
I think he's getting there. With Kirk, what I want to see from Kirk Cousins, I don't want to see him rushing. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing I saw from Kirk Cousins in that second half last week was he was patient. He was taking his time, looking through his progressions, looking through his reads, and he wasn't forcing anything. And I think that's what he has to do against this San Francisco defense, because San Francisco is going to bring the pressure. They're mm-hmm. going to bring the pressure. They're going to, you know, they're going to make you, you know, try to get rid of the ball faster, run underneath things. So, you know, I want to see him deal with the pressure a little bit better than he did against New Orleans. Remember, at the end of that game, before they got the ball back for that last drive, he got sacked two times that last drive,
the previous drive.
Cam Jordan got him, and Demario Davis got to him. So, to me, I think he just has to deal with the pressure a little bit better. But they're on the road. I know they were on the road again last week. And to me, I know momentum is everything in football.
I like the same.
I think the Vikings take it. I think the Vikings go into into Levi's Stadium, and I think they take it. It's going to be tight. And I think they're going to take this game 17-14.
Okay. I mean, I definitely think it's going to be a tight game. But the one thing that, I mean, you just mentioned was how Kirk Cousins was taking his time with the reads and, you know, going through his progressions. I don't think he's going to have that much time, especially with the forefront that the 49ers have. Everybody's coming back healthy. And the way that the running game that, you know, the 49ers have been establishing, I think the 49ers are taking this. It's going to be close. I think it's going to be a 24-21 game. It's going to come down to the wire. It might even go into overtime. We've seen a lot of overtime this season, and I think this is going to be another one that might go to overtime. But I think that the 49ers are going to take this 24-21.
And, of course, that brings us to – I think this is America's game of the week. It might be the world's game of the week. Tennessee Titans.
Yes, sir.
My adopted son.
Oh God.
My newfound golden boy.
Oh God.
Ryan Tannehill. His talents to Baltimore to play Lamar Jackson. This is gonna be tough. This is tough. The only reason why this is a throwaway is because I haven't seen anybody stop Lamar Jackson. I haven't seen anybody even come close to stopping what Lamar Jackson is. I don't even know what he is anymore.
Nope.
I don't know how to describe him as a threat. Not only is he a threat passing the football, he's a threat running the football. He's a threat for your ankles. He's a threat for your knees. He's a threat for your mental health. Mm-hmm. I just don't even know how to describe him anymore. He's been that damn good this whole year. And I haven't seen anybody stop him. And as good as that Tennessee front is, as good as their secondary have
played. They're not taking this.
I just don't see them going into Baltimore and winning this game. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because they are a young, good football team. I think they finally found their quarterback for the future in Tannehill. I think it finally a team using Derrick Henry as the feature back. It's finally paid off for them. It's finally paid off for him. I just think that they're a good football team, but they're running up into a bulldozer right now. They're running up into a juggernaut, which is the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Baltimore Ravens knock this out the park. I think this is going to be a dominant showing by them. I think if the weather's going to be good out here. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be
65 degrees. It's going to be nice.
And I think it's going to be really good for them this afternoon. I mean, I'm sorry, Saturday afternoon. I think it's going to be a good game, man. The Ravens win this 28-10. They win this 28-10.
You know what? Going into this game, this is probably one of the most exciting games because it's the battle of the two rushing teams. You have the rushing champ this year, Derrick Henry, going into Baltimore against one of the top defenses in the league in the Baltimore's defense. And then you also have the number one rushing quarterback in the league in Lamar Jackson. Both of these guys have been unstoppable when it comes to rushing the football. Now, with that being said, there's one thing that we have yet to see with this Ravens offense, and that's playing from behind. We have yet to see Lamar Jackson beat a guy that has had to come back from being in a deficit. But I don't think that's going to happen this week. I do not think that's going to happen this week because the way that they've been playing lights out football. Even with the second team offense and defense playing against the Steelers, you could see it. They control the momentum of the game early. They come in, they put up points, and they don't let that slide. I don't see Tennessee coming in early and putting up points and controlling momentum. They're not that team. You see it against New England. They were able to play against New England with strategies because New England didn't have any receivers. So you're just playing against a rushing offense that is barely working as is. New England's rushing is not that great, especially when you have no receivers to add to that. Yes, N'Keal Harry and all those other guys had a somewhat okay game, but it wasn't good. It wasn't good enough. And Tennessee was able to go out there. Derrick Henry was able to go out there and put up 200 yards against a Patriots defense. Now, let's bring it over back to
the at a Baltimore time side. That was ranked number one across the board.
Number one.
The Patriots defense that was at a time ranked number one across the board, man.
Yep, number one. Now, the Ravens defense have not given up 200 rushing yards all season. All season. I'm ready to see this matchup. I'm ready to see them go head-to-head. I'm ready to see Ryan Tannehill do his thing because he has been that guy. You know, the number one stat for him, like, winning the last, six out of seven games or six out of eight games and having the highest passer completion rating in those last couple weeks. This is a guy that has come from a downtrodden Miami team. You know, got traded, sat on the bench, working behind Marcus Mariota, came in mid-game and started working from jump until now. And look where it's got them. I'm ready to see that work ethic go to work, but I don't think it's going to be enough to stop Lamar Jackson because Lamar Jackson is going to outwork you from the coin toss and before that. He's been outworking you all week, and I think they're going to I'm pulling it. I know the Ravens are not letting this go. I got them winning the Super Bowl. They are winning this game, and it's going to be – I think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a 32-10 game. But you never, ever know, especially with this Titans team. They play spoiler all week. I mean, on call, I'm calling it as is, but we never know. But I'm excited to watch this game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun game to watch, man. It's just so much going on for both teams. I think both teams are on a high and full of momentum. And just like I said for the previous game, I know momentum plays a huge role in the divisional round, but let me tell you.
They both got momentum right now.
I haven't seen anybody stop Lamar Jackson, and I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think this is the week that it starts happening. I just don't see it happening this week.
Well, we're going to see the battle of the backs, you know. We're going to see Derrick Henry. And we also going to see Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram, well. Yep. Mark Ingram is definitely going to play.
It's gonna be. And the thing is, I mean, granted that Tennessee has started to use two backs with Deion Lewis, but the Ravens have a key marquee player in Gus Edwards. You saw what he did last week in the Steelers game. He came up big, 140-something yards. We're going to see a lot of this Ravens offense, and I can't wait to see, I can't wait for Saturday. I can't wait for kickoff on Saturday. It's going to be exciting. And with that, we're going to go on to our next game. Sunday, 3:05 in Kansas City. We got the Texans versus the Chiefs. Now, nobody thought that we would be talking about the Texans going against the Chiefs in this round. To be honest, I thought they was losing last round, but they proved us wrong.
I don't even want to think about that lateral. I was hoping you wasn't going to say anything about wild card. This I don't even want to think about the lateral, man.
But it's okay though.
I still can't believe Josh Allen did what Josh Allen did.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it.
It is what it was close. It started out, you know, nitty gritty, but Deshaun Watson did what Deshaun Watson does. He was escaping, he was moving, he was helping the team. And of course, you also have to thank DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins had to play the game with that catch right inside, you know, the red zone and set you guys up for the win. But it's not gonna be that easy. In order to beat this Chiefs defense, y'all need to score. The Texans need to score. You can't put up 17 points and expect to win this game. It's not going to happen. Nope. Not even close. They need to put up an exuberant amount of points, 25-plus, in order to be competitive in this game. You got a Chiefs offense that is damn near healthy. You have a Chiefs defense that is playing very, very well. What are you going to bring to the table to manage your offense and turn up the tempo? Because the offensive line on the Texans side is garbage. We all know this. You can see how many hits that Deshaun Watson is taking every game. Let's turn this around.
The Chiefs. Yeah, and to me, I think that's definitely going to play a role too.
Big factor.
The Chiefs defensively have been playing better as a whole. Mm-hmm. As a collective unit, they've been playing much better at the second half of the season. It's definitely something to worry about, that offensive line and Deshaun Watson, how many times he gets hit. But to me, I think this is what makes Deshaun Watson great.
Yeah.
No matter how many times he goes down, he still gets right back up and he delivers. That throw at the end of the game, last week, that was a big time play. You know, he got right out of the sack and delivered a big throw down the field, get him right in range. He's able to do so much, at that quarterback position. He does so much for the team, and he can rally them. No matter how poor, the running game might be at the time, or how, bad the receiving game might be at the time, he steps up and he rallies those guys, and he's definitely a leader for them. But this is going to be tough, man. Because I think a lot of people, because of the rise of Baltimore, have forgotten about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
But they have unfinished business. And I think that last year they thought that there was a chance for them to be in the Super Bowl. I think so. I think that, the refs definitely had a couple of plays that they blew, not only in the fourth quarter, but in overtime, that went against them.
To be honest, in that AFC Championship game last year, you're talking about the Chiefs getting Saints calls in crucial moments where the referees are not making the right calls, and I think it could have changed the momentum of the game, because I call it the Saints call because the Saints never get the calls, but you know what I mean? You know those crucial moments where these calls need to be made. And hey, it is what it is. It was still close. It was probably the shootout of the century in the AFC Championship game. But with this Chiefs offense and the way that they've been running, we got something else. They got something else.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs take this one only because they're playing at Arrowhead, and I think they have something to prove. And I think that they're gonna win this one in easy fashion. I think they're gonna win this with the score of 30-14. Or 30 to 14. That's the score I'm gonna give them. I think that they come out on top, and I think they blitz the Texans fast. I think they score fast, and I think they score early, and that the Texans just unravel right there.
Yeah, I'm riding out with you on this one. To be honest, I think that the Chiefs put up a quick 28, and I do not see the Texans getting past a 14. I'll give him 17. I'll give him 17 just because Deshaun Watson is who he is. If possible, Will Fuller plays, we're talking about a different scenario, a closer, more high scoring game if they can keep up. But I still think the Chiefs are putting up 28 plus and they're winning this game.
Yeah, definitely. And then of course the last game, I'm gonna save this game for last. Not only did we save it for last, but the National Football League, the people that they are, they knew to save this game for last. I really want to just say one thing this segment, but I'm not gonna do that to the fans. But you already know, go Pack Go. It's go Pack Go, and we going to Pack Go to the end of the world.
First, your second son. Now we got go Pack Go.
Hey. Don't disrespect,
you
man.
Trying
don't
to get these endorsements deals out here. It's okay. It's okay.
I'm doing what I can for the people. Listen to me. Aaron Rodgers is back. Aaron Rodgers is going to dominate. Aaron Rodgers is going to throw for 300-plus yards. Aaron Rodgers is going to throw for 3 touchdowns. And the Green Bay Packers win this game. I've been screaming all year, MVP Wilson, MVP Wilson. I know. I like the Seahawks. I'm glad they won last week. But let me tell you, the Seahawks don't look the same. The Seahawks do not look like the same team that we saw from weeks 4 through maybe 12. The Seahawks don't look like that anymore. And to me, the reason that I just have the Packers dominating this game is because I don't think the Seahawks can stop the run. I think with Aaron Jones being a premier rusher in the league, a scoring machine, I just don't see the Seahawks stop him. And I think that boom right there, it opens things up for Aaron Rodgers. And he plays Aaron Rodgers type of games, and he dominates, man. The Packers are home. It's Lambeau. It's going to be cold. It's the playoffs. Go Pack Go, man. I just don't see any way that the Packers lose this game.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to stick a fork in your wrench because this is not what I wanted to hear right now. This go Pack Go, go Pack Go. I thought we was riding Russell Wilson train all the way to the end, but I do understand your position. The way that the Seahawks played in the last couple of weeks and gave us this they lost to the Eagles. Lost to the Eagles. Like, no, that's not a team that you should be losing to, especially in the second half of the season. And we going into the playoffs. So you know when we saw that, like you said, you was losing faith in Russell Wilson. I think they just had a bad game. I think Russell Wilson comes back from that. They go into a Lambeau, 24 degrees, nice and mile high, and I think they have a great game. I see DK Metcalf going out there, putting up a nice, illustrious number, 100 yards and a TD. I could definitely see Beast Mode going out there, having almost maybe about 100 and a TD. If this Green Bay Packers defense does not show up, which I do not expect them to not show up, I do see Bo Smiths coming in there and doing their thing. But with Russell Wilson being able to do what he does, being able to scramble outside the pocket, I think he's going to be able to break containment like he always does, scramble, and come out and make these illustrious pass plays. And with that, and the way Beast Mode has been running the ball, they only fed him a little bit. Because it was only his first week with back with the team. I think we're going to see a lot more of him running the ball. And to be honest, I got the Hawks winning this one. I hate to burst your bubble, but the Packers have not been putting up the numbers that the Packers should be putting up. If you look at the last couple weeks, look at the scores. Close and not the Aaron Rodgers numbers that he should be putting up. He's not scoring 30-plus points. I see the Seahawks winning this game. It's going to be a close one, but I think Russell Wilson does what he does best. He comes out in the fourth quarter and does his fourth quarter stunts, and he takes it. He runs the clock. Pete Carroll does the time management thing, and they win this most likely in field goal fashion with a 28-24 win.
I can't believe you. I just can't. I mean, I can understand the arguments. But I, like I said, man, it's just, I just don't see them going into Lambeau doing this, man. It's a great dream to think DK Metcalf against that secondary can go and do that. It's a great dream to think that beast mode Marshawn Lynch is going to have a good game. But the reality of it is their offensive line hasn't been playing well. Their offensive line has regressed. They took a step forward.
Neither has the Packers.
Oh, you're
the
tripping.
The Packers' offensive line has not been playing as well.
They have injuries, and maybe Bulaga plays. They're probably going to have Bakhtiari back. Their offensive line is probably going to be much better.
Possibly.
But their offensive line their offensive line is not as bad as Seattle's offensive line. Seattle's offensive line is not a bottom 10 team.
It's not. You know, it's not as bad as Seattle, but Green Bay's defense up to par, like they should.
Are you crazy? Green Bay's off a defensive line, man. Zadarius and
Preston Smith. Offensive line.
I know, but I'm saying their defensive line going against that offensive line. There's no way they stop those guys. There's no way at all they stop B.J. Goodson, who they picked up from the Giants at the beginning of the season. He's finally, you know, started to play like a football player. He's been good. They got Martinez back there, who's been playing. Their secondary has been lights out almost all year. Kevin King, Jaire Alexander, who had, you know, in the last game of the season against the Lions, who stepped up big time in the second half. The young guy, Darnell Savage from Maryland. They have ballers in their secondary. Then this is not just a regular Packers team that we've seen that's been carried by Aaron Rodgers only. They have a defense that can win games for them. And in Lambeau, in this weather, bro, that Seattle don't stand a chance. Seattle don't stand a chance at all, man.
Well, I'm just letting you know right now, if Seattle loses this game, it's because I picked them to win. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, look, and if that's the case, that's the right decision, man. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, it's gonna be a lot of Packers plays doing the Lambeau leap on Sunday. That's all I can say, man. I just don't see any way that Seattle will win this game, man.
Well, either way, for this week, it's a win-win for me. Seattle wins, it's a win for me. If Seattle loses and Green Bay wins, still a win. Because guess what? We are cover season, and we get the picks, and we bring it to you. And with that, it's going to be a short episode for y'all. But don't forget, come in and give us your picks. We want to know, coming down to the wire, Super Bowl's around the corner, which team you think is going to win the AFC, which team is going to win the NFC. Come on. Get on our Instagram, get on our podcast, get on our Twitter. Send us your picks.
And you already know it's time to go. It's your guy, Easy Ollie.
It's your boy, D-Dub, and we'll see y'all.